Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It's a week we wait for all year. It's our opportunity to bring to you the Open Championship. And this year it's at Royal Troon. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. We're in the media center in Troon. And Alex, 1860. Can you believe it? 3 miles up the road at Old Prestwick. I guess Prestwick then. It wasn't even Old Prestwick. First shot in open competition was struck by Tom Morris.
Old Tom Morris. You got the old wrong.
At 12 noon, and it was a half gale blowing.
Do you even know what a half gale is?
I know it's windy.
Well, maybe. Did you read that in the paper? Is that what you did?
I did. I was reading coverage of that event.
You know, I think you're a full gale, I think is what you are.
Well, I might very well be, but I was fascinated by this local paper here because one of the feature stories about two cows that escaped because a bull came in their territory, and I think the bull had different ideas, just like you and I have different ideas.
Was that a reporter interviewing the bull?
I don't know. Last time the Open was here, though, Alex, none other than Todd Hamilton. What a story that was.
Another bull. Yeah, you know, I didn't actually cover that event here that year, but I did watch it on television with anticipation, because you thought Ernie Els would probably win that tournament. And Todd Hamilton, who I remember winning Honda that year because I was there and walking, I remember sitting on the first by the first green, and Todd Hamilton's walking down on the final round. He's walking by the first green, looks over and says, "What are you doing out here?" Just with a little smirk because, you know, I mean, it was the first time he'd really gotten into contention on the PGA Tour, spent most of his time playing in Asia. And he was pretty loose that day, beat Davis Love, won the Honda Classic, as we know, and then turn around and won this event, and quite honestly won it out of the blue, basically with a utility club, which he used more effectively as a kind of a chipping club around the greens at Troon. And because of that, he went home with the claret jug.
Well, he didn't really accomplish all of that on his own, though, Alex, because...
What, somebody else out there hitting the balls for him?
Well, no, but there was your partner sitting alongside of you that played a vital role in Todd Hamilton's victory, which I will share with you.
Oh, I can't wait.
We were in the scorer's trailer. I was sitting with Todd Hamilton's wife while he was out battling Ernie Els. And they had a little baby at the time. And Mrs. Hamilton turned to me and said, "Bob, I am in desperate need of a diaper." So I scurry out of the scorer's trailer towards the clubhouse, asking everybody I can find, "Can I have a diaper?" Of course, nobody knew what I was talking about because over here they're called nappies. Finally, I procure a nappy, bring it back to Mrs. Hamilton. She was able to hug her husband with a clean baby holding the claret jug. So I did play a vital role.
Let's move on.
All right. What about the weather this week? Obviously, you come to any Open Championship, a big story.
Well, it's West Scotland. I mean, it could change in every 30 seconds. You'd have to ask the weatherman, what's the prediction? I mean, this is a crazy place. We don't know what we're going to get. I mean, one day it's blowing. You need three iron to get to a par four. And the next day you need driver wedge. So, I mean, it's very hard to understand what's going to happen with the weather forecast. And whatever the forecast is, it doesn't really matter. You can toss it out because as you start playing, it's going to be everywhere.
One thing that does matter, though, is with the lack of wind, Royal Troon, almost like all the other open courses in the rota, would not be the test that it is with the wind.
Well, I mean, that's true with anything. That's true with any golf course we play in the United States as well. I think the difference here is that the bunkering is such that even without wind, if you're in these bunkers, you're going to have a terrible, terrible time getting out. I mean, when the postage stamp, which is the par three, which is well known throughout the world, when the coffin bunker on the postage stamp isn't the worst bunker on the hole, and I think there's clearly something wrong with the naming convention of bunkers at Royal Troon.
if it's the coffin bunker, I know a lot of things I'd rather be in than a coffin bunker, for sure. Hey, why don't we take this opportunity, listen to some of the key contenders here this week. Let's begin with Jordan Spieth, who came into last year's Open Championship having won the Masters, having won the U.S. Open. This year, no major titles, was picked to win, by the way, at Oakmont by my partner Alex Maselli. I want to bring that up. Jordan Spieth really telling us that he really wants to win the Claret Jug.
I crave to have that trophy in my possession at some point, and to reach the third leg of the Grand Slam this week would be a fantastic achievement and a lifelong goal of mine. So seen a couple different win conditions. Of course, it's a fantastic golf course for the Open Championship, and I love coming over and playing links golf as well.
So Jordan Spieth basically saying all the right things.
Yeah, but what we didn't get a chance to say in there is what Jordan Spieth at the same time has gone ahead and said that he's not going to be playing in the Olympics. After that was confirmed yesterday by Peter Dawson, the head of the IGF. The concern here is that Jordan Spieth, as he said later in the press conference, doesn't have the same game, doesn't have the same mental attitude that he did going into St. Andrews. And then I think a lot of his energy was sapped up by this whole decision he had to make, which was very late yesterday in the United States. It was very early, to the decision not to play in the Olympics. I just think that you'd have to discount Jordan Spieth's chances this week.
Well, we'll get to your pick later in the show. Let's talk about the world number one player, Jason Day. He clearly states driving's going to be the key.
You can have anywhere from one to three choices of what you want to hit out there off the tee. You know, you can lay it back well short of the bunkers. You can kind of take mid-range and go between the bunkers, or you can take all the bunkers out and hit driver. And that also depends on how the weather is, obviously progressing through the week.
Now we move on to Rory McIlroy, and Rory said something in the press conference along the Olympic lines. I want your opinion on what he said in just a minute, but he tells us about playing in this Open Championship at Troon. He did not play last year at St. Andrews due to that ankle injury, but McIlroy is certainly confident he has the game to win.
One of the criticisms I have of myself this year is maybe not being aggressive enough. And you know, committing and trusting myself, but I feel like with the things that I'm working on in my swing, hopefully that'll get me to that point, and hopefully it's this week where I start to trust myself more with my swing, and I trust the shots that I'm trying to hit, and trust that more times than not I can pull them off. I feel like when I play my best golf, if I'm not the favorite, I'm one of the favorites, and I'm pretty confident that if I do play my best golf, then there's a good chance that I'll end up coming out on top.
Well, it's one thing Rory McIlroy telling us that he feels he has the game to win another Open Championship. But it was another statement made by Rory McIlroy that had reporters racing out of the interview room to report to their various organizations what was said. Bring our listeners up to date.
Well, I mean, basically what Rory had to say, well, why should I bring him up today? Why don't we listen and hear what he had to say, and then we can comment about both cuts that we heard.
I don't feel like I've let the game down at all. I mean, it's not, I didn't get into golf to try and grow the game. I tried to get into golf to win championships and win major championships, and all of a sudden you get to this point and there's a responsibility on you to grow the game. And I get that, but at the same time, that's not the reason that I got into golf. I got into golf to win. I didn't get off into golf to get other people into the game. But like, I get where different people come from and different people have different opinions. But I'm very happy with the decision that I've made, and I have no regrets about it.
So the buzz, Alex, was the comment that he didn't get into golf to grow the game. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what he said. I think the listeners could clearly hear that. And you can clearly understand that. I mean, first of all, if he came in his first professional event and sat there in an interview room and said, I'm here to grow the game. not like what Tiger Woods did when he came out. It says, you know, hello world, which was basically, I'm here, get ready for me. That's not what Rory McIlroy was about. Rory McIlroy was about exactly what he said he was about, which was trying to learn how to play professional golf and try to win major championships, which is what our sport clearly is all about. You know, I was talking to one of the reporters in here earlier who's covered a lot of Olympics and covered tennis as well as golf, and he said, you know, if the biggest sport or the biggest event in your sport isn't the Olympics, you probably shouldn't be in the Olympics. And that's true in tennis, and that's true in golf. And, you know, Rory McIlroy understands that historically, those majors, since the day he was born, those four majors are what he was always focused on. And there's not one player that will tee it up in this field that doesn't think that the majors are more important than the Olympics. So I understand what he's saying there. I understand what his comments are there. The problem is that with everything else, it just gets so blown out of proportion when we're in the UK. The journalists here just love to take these things and just yank them and blow them up into big, big balloons waiting for them to pop. And this is going to pop, and it's going to pop tomorrow morning when it hits the papers.
You think this time, 24 hours after Rory McIlroy made that statement, that he's going to say to himself, that's something I shouldn't have said? Or is he going to say, I don't think there's anything wrong in what I said?
If you take the one cut on its own, you can start to question what he was saying and what he was doing. If you take the entire cut in its totality, you completely understand where he's coming from. He's not saying, I don't want to grow the game. He's not saying that I don't have a responsibility to grow the game. He is saying he didn't get into the game to grow the game, which none of us did. None of us are in this game to grow the game when we first start. We eventually evolve into that depending on how good or bad we are.
Well said. We'll wait and see the ramifications of what transpired, and we'll see if it affects Rory McIlroy this week.
Now, to get back to the other cut, I think Rory has been able to do exactly what he wants to do with the golf ball on the range. Talking to him in France, it was clear that he was able to do that. His problem is taking that from the range, that confidence from the range, and bringing it to the golf course. We'll see if this is where it's going to happen. I think he's got a pretty good chance. But that being said, it's very difficult when you're still working on changes in your swing to move it to the golf course from the range.
Well, later on the show, as I alluded to, we're going to find out who Alex Miceli thinks has a better chance than Rory McIlroy. I'm going to give our listeners a little indication. You're not going to be surprised with my pick this week.
Yeah, you're very singularly focused, I know.
All right. No. Zach Johnson, defending champ. He comes in, and here's what he has to say.
It's not rocket science out there. It's what you see is what you get. Tee it up. I mean, there's an element of maybe fortuitous, I don't know if luck's the right word, but just good breaks as to when your tee times could be. That's just golf. But this tournament, more than any, just I think it's purity.
Purity.
Never heard that term used before.
No,
help
but
us
I mean,
out.
I understand. I mean, it is the purest of the four majors, probably, because of the history of it, the fact that it's not played like anything we play in the other three majors. Weather becomes such a factor. The draw becomes such a factor. Luck, more than any other major, is the biggest factor compared to the other majors in regards to winning the Open Championship. So I think that's all true. And what's interesting enough is if Zach Johnson had a good chance to successfully defend, I think Royal Troon is one of those places because it's not inherently overly long. And I think, you know, if it stays relatively firm, Zach Johnson will have a pretty good chance to defend here.
That would be an amazing story. Obviously, it was amazing when he went on to victory last year at St. Andrews. All right, Dustin Johnson. He won the U.S. Open, then wins Bridgestone. Clearly, Alex, the hottest player coming in.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. If the world rankings weren't so behind in regards to the process that they figure out in who's world one and two and three and four, Dustin Johnson would clearly be world number one right now. He's certainly shown that. What will happen here is it's unclear. I mean, he's not going to be able to just get up there and go after it. Even at Oakmont, the fairways were wider than you're going to find here at Royal Troon.
Danny Willett. He's got a green jacket at home in his closet, won the Masters a couple of months back. Somebody that, you know, certainly wasn't as big a surprise winning the Masters as a lot of people imagined, because, you know, he was, what, 12th in the world, I think, when he won. And, you know, it was in a heated contest a year ago against Rory McIlroy for the race to Dubai. So Danny Willett winning there. Now he comes here. He would love to win an Open Championship, and he thinks Royal Troon's a good place to do it.
You can see when it's flat gum. You can have a go at the golf course, but if you get it breezy, then like in any open venue, this place really shows its teeth. I think it's a fantastic open venue and a fantastic test of golf.
So Danny Willett saying a lot of nice things about Royal Troon. Maybe that's the method. You know, say nice things about Royal Troon. Royal Troon will do nice things to your golf game.
Well, I mean, you could get lucky in that way. I kind of doubt it, though. Danny Willett really worked really hard to get to that first major championship. And I don't want to say he's coasting right now, but he's clearly not in the same mindset that he had when he went into Augusta. And that's understandable, you know, just having a baby, all the stuff that's gone on with winning your first major. We'll see what happens after the PGA, getting himself ramped up for what will be the not only the race to Dubai, but the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine. But I think you'll see Danny Willett be ready to go in 2017, and that's where we'll get a better understanding of how good Danny Willett is.
And, of course, Danny Willett made it perfectly known to the media here in attendance. He will be going to the Olympics. He'll be playing alongside of Justin Rose, representing England in the Olympics. Another distraction that, you know, you're thinking about the Olympics, you're getting ready for the Open Championship. You know, that's a lot on your plate.
It is, but, I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, you don't play this game and not have to week after week get prepared to play. And that's a little different than back in the old days where you might play and you might not play again for 3 or 4 weeks, depending how it is. So I think Danny Willett is prepared for that. He's used to that. But at the same time, I do agree with you that it could be a little much and a little more than he expected. The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and abroad, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. One of the big stories this week so far has been the Olympics, and when we return, we'll talk all about it. Remember, we'll be back in a minute. 145th Open Championship.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor and the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com, that's GOLPHIN.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening to the Grill Room. We're coming your way from the Media Center here at Royal Troon. I'm Bob. Of course, he's Alex. And as Alex said before we went to break, one of the big stories this week has been the Olympics. And it seems like Peter Dawson, president of the IGF, which is the International Golf Federation that oversees golf in the Olympics, safe to say, Mr. Maselli, a little bit miffed about the number of withdrawals and the high-profile players that have opted not to play in the Olympics.
Yeah, you know, Peter Dawson's a bit upset by the fact that, as you said, a lot of players, which I think it's really, we're trying to even figure out the number, really, but it's at least 18. 18, which out of 60 means that you're looking at about 30% of the players in the world have decided that they don't want to participate in the Olympics. It's a pretty big number. Certainly not what they were thinking about when they went to the IOC to convince them to be part of the golf, to be part of the Olympics. But the bottom line is you can't get mad at the players. I can see one or two and maybe getting mad at the one or the two. But when you have 18 players saying they're not going, don't you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, did I do everything I could have done as the IGF or the PGA Tour or whoever it is to make sure that these players were well-informed and understood what the risk would be if there are any risk at all comparatively to playing in Texas or Scotland or, you know, Malaysia? And the problem is, I don't think they did. And now they look at themselves and say, well, it's not on us. It has to be on the players. And you know what? It's just not all on the players.
You know, I think back to when this Olympic cruise, meaning golf being in the Olympics, set sail. The first waves that were hit were lots of discussion about what format it was going to be. Then they came out with 72-hole stroke play. I don't know if it was a big issue at the time, but players took note. And that seemed to be the start of the choppy waters that this cruise has been under.
Well, look, Zika has been the focal point of why players have gotten out. And it's been a convenient and legitimate excuse. Now, how legitimate now in the winter in Brazil, I don't know. I haven't been there. But the point is that, again, we get back to four majors, FedEx Cup, Ryder Cup. This is a distraction. It's taking basically 2 weeks out of my schedule to go do this. So do I have to do this? Do I want to do this? Does this make the most sense for me to do? And obviously the 30 players, it does, or 18 players, it does not. Now, in our team, U.S. team, which is Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed, and Matt Kuchar, I'm still not sure today that all four of those guys are going to go to the Olympics. I'm not sure that you're not going to see a defection. So that's how tenuous this situation is. And again, I don't see the IGF or the PGA Tour doing enough to belay the fears of the players.
Well, Jordan Spieth wrestled with the decision right up to the moment of truth and then announced he would not be playing in the Olympics or competing in golf in the Olympics, properly said. Let's give a listen to Jordan Spieth on his big decision.
It will loom over me throughout the Olympic Games, for sure. I will be, I'm sure at times, pretty upset that I'm not down there. I thought about all this ahead of time. When I watch the opening ceremonies, that's going to be a big bummer. And then when I watch these guys competing on the golf course, I thought about all this ahead of time and still made the decision I did because it was the right move for me.
Now, I think it's important, Bob, that we indicate here that Jordan Spieth's reasons have not completely come to light. He said it was health reasons, but he didn't say it was Zika. He said just generally health reasons. Now, does that mean that he's kind of gone ahead and taken everything and put it into the health basket, meaning security and Zika and something else? Or is there really another health reason that Jordan Spieth has that's concerning to him and his doctors that he just decided it doesn't make sense to go to Rio de Janeiro? I don't know. But I'm just saying we need to make sure we understand that he did not specify Zika as being the reason he wasn't going.
Well, Danny Willett, our Masters champion, he says he's more than willing to deal with the mosquitoes and Zika. Here's Danny Willett.
You know, we're one of the only sports that are going to be outside for such a prolonged period of time. You look at the golf courses, obviously very close to the water and down in old like marshland where it's been made. So, yes, if you break it down, the risks probably are slightly higher for our sport than other sports. Like I said, it's winter, the threat's lower, the threat's been lessening every week. So hopefully by the time we get there, it's not really an issue.
Pretty fascinating. Danny Willett's almost making a case not to go and then says he's going.
Well, I mean, you never know. One good freeze in Rio and we're done with the mosquito problem. But, you know, it's certainly a different situation now than it would be if it was in the height of their summer, which is actually in January, February time. But still, the issue still exists. And if players don't feel safe, then they shouldn't go.
All right. Let's try and put a cap on this Olympic discussion, Alex. Is it vital that, you know, players like Rory McIlroy, players like Jordan Spieth, other high-profile players participate in order for golf to be a success? Or are we making a bigger issue of it than it really is?
Well, I think we're making a bigger issue of it than it really is for many different reasons, but specifically because, you know, this is going to showcase a sport around the world, which is already showcased around the world. But you have the opportunity now because you're going to have what I'm going to say is a lesser field than you would have had if you would have had the top four in the world going. This gives the opportunity for some players that we may not get a chance to see much and get some exposure worldwide. And that might be better for golf than we really think. Let's be honest, Bob. If you take Tiger Woods out of the equation, which we clearly are, Tiger Woods would move the needle more than any other player exponentially. Tiger Woods clearly is not playing golf right now. Does Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day move the needle so much as if it was a Tiger? No. So we're not losing so much of that. But what we could be getting is we could be getting a new star that plays well at the Olympics and then rides that along. And we could always go back and say, you know, that what happened in Rio is the reason why this player is where he is today. So there's a lot of opportunities. And I don't think the IOC would be smart to go ahead and drop golf for one particular reason, because we are the best corporate sport in the world. The absolute best corporate sport in the world. And guess what? The IOC is all about corporations.
Little doubt about that. It's interesting. I did some research. I went back to 2009, Alex, and some of the initial discussions that came out of the IOC about golf in the Olympics. They did make a specific point saying, wow, we're going to have golf in the Olympics. We're going to have Tiger Woods participating. I mean, it was all wrapped up in this package of Tiger Olympics, you know, and obviously for a number of reasons, mainly his health and injuries and operations and everything, Tiger's not going to be part of it. But he certainly was the foundation for the launch of golf in the Olympics.
Well, he's certainly the foundation, and he's the reason why we were playing 72-hole stroke play, because they wanted to make sure there was no way in the world Tiger wouldn't be there for four rounds. Now, we look back at that as a sport and say that probably wasn't the best idea. The IOC came up with that, and if we continue with golf past 2020, or hopefully even at 2020 in Japan, we change the format, because I think you're going to find players like the idea of playing for their country. They don't feel like playing as an individual on a 72-hole stroke play event, no matter where it is, no matter if there's five rings with it or not, makes it a team or country sport.
All right. It's a known fact. 2020 Tokyo, golf will be in the Olympics. From your perspective, from publisher of Golf Week magazines, do you see golf in the Olympics past 2020 as we sit here on the eve of the 145th Open Championship?
I actually don't have much doubt that it will be. Again, because of the corporate sponsorship aspect, it's just, it's way, way beyond what any other sport can bring to the IOC, and way beyond what they can bring to the Olympics. And, you know, if it's relatively successful, and it doesn't mean who wins, but if the competition is compelling and it's relatively successful on television, they'll go to 2020 and they will see, because now we're going to Tokyo. Jordan Spieth has already clearly made the announcement that he wants to be on that team in 2020. I think other players will have time to get them more involved in the process, which I think is one of the things that didn't happen or enough of it happening. And I think you're going to find the players will be more supportive. And at the end of the day, I think you're going to find the IOC understanding that it's a process and we don't want to lose what could be a very, very important sport in the Olympics.
Is anything that's going to happen at Rio ultimately going to decide whether golf goes forward past 2020?
Well, I think that if you had a some kind of untold disaster, something, let's keep the USGA away from Rio as far as possible, and I think we got a chance to maybe survive that. But no, I don't think there's really anything, you know, deadly there. I think that there's only positives, and I don't think there's any negatives. And, you know, NBC in the U.S. at least will do a great job with covering golf in the Olympics, and I think the other world outlets will as well. So I think we're going to be okay.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. It'll be before us, before we know it. One thing that's definitely going to be upon us almost instantly, and that's the 145th playing of the Open Championship. Now for the critical juncture in this edition of the Grow Room. Time to open the microphone for Alex Mussulli to make his pick on who he feels is going to take home the claret jug come next Sunday.
You know, it's very difficult because there are so many good players, and it really depends on the draw. And listening to Paul McGinley last week in Scotland, he said, look, I wouldn't even bet, if I could bet, I wouldn't even bet until after the cut because there's so much involved with what can happen. But obviously you're not going to let me wait until after the cut. So I'm going to go with someone that I think has a lot of capability around a golf course like this. This golf course is right in front of you. You can see everything. And one player does very, very well when that's the case, and that's Bubba Watson.
So Alex Mussulli picks Bubba Watson. You're going to be totally amazed on what solidified my decision. I was prepping.
I'm always amazed with you.
I was prepping for this show, and I said, you know, I'm coming off a victory with Dustin Johnson, accurately predicting that he was going to win the U.S. Open. Who am I going to pick for the Open Championship? Decide to leave the media center, get some fresh air, clear my head, walk to the putting green. Only one player is there. Walk up to that player, ask him how he's doing. He said he's doing fine. I then share the story that I picked Dustin Johnson to win the U.S. Open. That player turns to me and says, would you do me a favor? I said, what do you want? He says, pick me to win. I said, you got it. Rory McIlroy takes home his second claret jug come Sunday.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. All right, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, TalkSport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners, that's their goal, and to GolfWeek.com. So, for Janice Self, Alex Mussulli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family as we come to you from Royal Troon. Do us a favor, follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. You can like us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.